Yeah, thank you for coming this morning, and I'll be discussing the results from a literature review that myself and my co-authors did to study the genetic relationship between stover yield and grain yield. And I first want to start off by thanking my co-authors, especially Tim Gustafson, for his input and all his hard work in the library. It's pretty fun to do a literature review when you have the papers delivered to you. And I'd also like to thank my advisors, Natalia De Leon and Jim Coors, for all their support and help. So a couple years ago, I've had to introduce the topic of cellulosic ethanol in more detail, but I don't think I have to do that anymore. But basically, corn stover has been identified as a feedstock for this source of biofuels. And as we all know, the government has these goals of replacing a certain percentage of our transportation fuels with biofuels by, the long-term goal is 30% by 2030 right now. And improving the yield of all these crops, including stover yield, would improve the efficiency of this industry as a whole. In the graph in the lower right-hand corner, I included to remind us the power of breeding. That's the increase in corn yields over time, and at least half of that has been due to breeding, and increases in stover yield may look something like this if we give it some attention. There is variation out there for stover yield among elite grain hybrids. This is our own data, and these two hybrids were statistically equivalent for both grain yield and flowering time, but the hybrid on the left yields about 50% more stover than the Cal brand hybrid on the right. I want to introduce the topic of harvest index. It's the ratio of harvestable grain product to a total above ground dry matter, and it basically measures the success of partitioning photosynthate into a harvestable product. And it's been increased throughout breeding and especially throughout domestication. And it's generally been part of a desirable crop ideotype and in the past, but if we're going to be breeding for the bioeconomy, the bioenergy economy, we need not care about harvest index, but rather total biomass yield. Historically, this has been the situation in the small grains, where we've had a large increase in harvest index over time with breeding. And most of the gains in small and historically, most of the gains in grain yield in small grains have been through an increase in harvest index with a constant biomass production. And obviously, then grain yield has been negatively associated with straw yield in the small grains over time. So our questions for today is, what is the genetic relationship between stover yield and grain yield in maize? And will trying to breed for stover yield in the future reduce future rates of gain in grain yield in the past? And what has happened in the future, or what has happened in the past, and what can we expect in the future? So to do this, we compiled three categories of studies. The first were air studies that looked in changes in plant morphology over a decade of breeding. The second was similar types of studies, except over recurrent cycles of recurrent selection. And the third, we just compiled any correlations we could find between stover yield and grain yield. And often, because the only harvest index and total biomass yield was reported in the literature, we often had to use the harvest index to calculate stover yield from those results. So these are the studies we found that measured the traits we wanted for the air category. There are four of them, and three of them are from the Corn Belt, and one is from Ontario. And these are the results. So in 1985, Russell wrote a highly cited paper looking at changes in plant architecture over a decade of breeding for grain yield. And on these graphs, I have the harvest index y-axis is on the left, and the stover yield y-axis is on the right. And the stover yield points are the blue squares, and the harvest index points are the black triangles. And if you look at Russell's data, these are groups of hybrids. There's several hybrids within each air. And if you look at the 1920 group compared to the 1980 group, you can see an increase in harvest index from about 0.45 to 0.5. But if you fit a regression line through these points, the slope is not significantly different than zero. On the other hand, stover yield has more consistently increased, and most changes in grain yield have been due to increases in total biomass rather than any consistent changes in harvest index. This is a small study out of Illinois, and there were several hybrids within each one of these three groups. but you can see that the harvest index from 1930 to 1970 did not change, but there was a jump in store yield from 1950 to 1970, which was significant and was associated with a significant change in grain yield between those two eras. The study by Tollenauer just looked at single hybrids released in different dates and that were used by farmers in Ontario, and there's no change in harvest index throughout those years, but there was a fairly large change in stover yield, especially when you look at the latest two hybrids. And in this study, he varied planting density and concluded within the paper that only 15% of the increases in grain yield were due to increases in harvest index. But if you take planting density into consideration, there's actually almost a decline in harvest index. One way that we have increased stover yield is through increasing or decreasing barrenness under higher plant densities. And that can be seen in this study. This study was done at the silage harvest by Lauer and Coors in 2001, and there are two different maturity groups of hybrids, a late group and an early group in each for all these decades. And the harvest index graph is on the top. And if you look at the 1930 group, the harvest index is very low. That's basically because these plants went barren. This group primarily consisted of open pollinated cultivars. Actually, they're all open pollinated cultivars. And they went barren underneath the higher planting densities used in this study. But if you look after the 1930 group, there is a consistent increase in harvest index. And if you fit a line through either one of those sets of points, it's not significantly different than zero. On the other hand, stover yield on the bottom graph has consistently increased in both maturity groups, and it's increased from about 50% in both cases, from 1930 to 1990. But again, that's at silage harvest and not physiological maturity. So our next group of studies were the recurrent selection studies, and we split these studies into two groups, a temperate group and a tropical group, because the germplasm used in each group was obviously very different, and the conditions of selection and evaluation were very different, and the results were very different for these two groups. So on these figures, on the left-hand side, I have the study listed, and then also within many of these studies, they looked at a few populations, so I have each one of those listed as well. And on the x-axis, I have the percent change, the change per cycle as a percentage of the cycle zero value. And increases in grain yield were significant in all of these. And I should also say that the stover bars are, the blue bars are stover bars, the yellow bars are the grain yield, and the red is the harvest index. And all I want to point out is that stover yield has been associated with increases in grain yield with cycles of selection, and harvest index, even though it is in the positive direction in many cases, all those papers except the two with the stars next to them, all those papers explicitly stated somewhere in the table or in the text that there was no significant increase in harvest index. And that's what the graph looks like if you set those values to zero. However, the situation is very different in tropical germplasm. All these studies were from Simmet, and generally the recurrent selection is done to increase grain yield under drought stress. And all I want you to concentrate on here is that the changes in grain yield were primarily associated with changes in harvest index. The yellow bars and the red bars are moving together, and there's even some declines in stover yield over time. Now, I should also point out that Simmet does try to reduce plant stature in its recurrent selection protocol. So, but under drought conditions in these tropical populations, they've had most success increasing grain yield by doing a better job of repartitioning the photosynthate. These are the correlation studies that we found. We've likely been able to find more studies, but these traits are somewhat laborious to measure, and not many people have undertaken this task with a decent number of hybrids. In the studies we included, I just subjectively decided which studies to include based on the objectives of the experiments and the number of hybrids they included, and that's about it. But all I want to point out is that We weren't able to find any negative correlations. Most were significant and fairly highly positive. And there was actually no, within most of these studies, there wasn't a lot of variation for flowering time or for moisture, or there wasn't a correlation between moisture, stover moisture or grain moisture with stover yield, which those are indicative of maturity time as well. And most of these studies were done at silage harvest by silage breeders because these traits are more interest to silage breeders than the people interested in grain yield. So the conclusions based on our reviewed refs are that the harvest index of maize was initially high, and it hasn't been increased with breeding throughout the decades. And most of the increases in grain yield have been associated with increases in biomass yield rather than harvest index. And this is the same for the recurrent selection studies within the temperate germplasm. However, as we saw, in the tropical germplasm is quite different, the situation. And we weren't able to find any positive or any negative correlations, and most were highly positive. However, I'm going to put an asterisk next to that because I think these studies, any studies in the future that really want to look at this, do have to correct for maturity time, and they should be done on four-row plots or something to correct for the advantage that taller hybrids have in small plot situations. So I don't think we can make any conclusions there, really. So basically, we weren't able to find any evidence that increasing grain yield or breeding for stover yield would decrease our rate of gain in grain yield. And I want to end up with some speculations and questions. Basically, is maize at its theoretical maximum harvest index? I think it probably is. And will selecting for stover yield, or will future increases in grain yield have to come from increases in total biomass production rather than harvest index, which I think it will. There has been a figure cited for the maximum harvest index in wheat of about 0.62. And the wheat folks do note that the harvest index of wheat is approaching that, and any increase after that is going to have to come from increases in total biomass yield. So I don't think the question is any longer, or at least for us, will breeding for stover yield reduce our rate and gain yield, but will it actually lift the ceiling on grain yield potential and just add to our selection index, I guess. So with that, I'd just like to thank you for your attention and coming to hear me.
We have a couple minutes for questions. If anybody has any questions for Aaron. I could ask you this question back in the department, but I will ask it here. So if we know that plant height has not increased in the with selection from 1930s to now, so what do you think has changed? I mean, if we don't have an increase in plant size, what is it that is keeping the harvest index? Because obviously grain yield keeps increasing. So what is the speculation in that regard?
Yeah, the stocks are probably getting stronger. The plants are probably able to produce more biomass under higher planting densities. And also, I think that staggering and plant health is very important. Plant senescence has definitely been associated over time with increases in grain yield. And if you have less plant senescence at maturity, you're going to have less or more stover yield. So I think those are a few of the factors. But yeah, I don't know if I guess I should probably look at how it changes in plant height over time.